There's no Monday morning like the Monday morning back from vacation. That's the Monday of all Mondays. So your sheer presence here is testament to your resilience. Ease back in. The minhag, a very beautiful minhag. I have a theory about it. I can't prove it. Is to devote this period of time to study of Pirkei Avot. So Pirkei Avot is the most significant ethical text that we have in our tradition. As a matter of fact, I hesitate to say this in front of the members of the English department because, you know, God knows they could do more justice to this than I would. Then there's a very famous professor of literature named Lionel Trilling, a literary critic in the mid 20th century. He wrote this article called Wordsworth and the Rabbis, in which he studies Pirkei Avos and he compares it to Wordsworth. But he basically, in a very astute way, especially for somebody who was not a scholar of the Torah in any broader sense, defines Jewish ethics on the basis of, and rabbinic ethics on the basis of Pirkei Avos. The reason I say I think it's a beautiful minhag of studying it now is that we're in the time of preparation for the holiday of Shavuot, which is rabbinically identified as Zman Matan Torah Teinu, the time that we receive the Torah, and I think that all of us were raised with an expression to one degree or another, whether or not we knew the expression, something that I think literally my grandparents for many years had as like on their wall, the expression Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that before you can talk about Torah, the study of Torah, you first have to talk about ethics and what it means to be human and kind and decent and civil. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. So then how beautiful a minhag it is really that in the 6 weeks that lead up to that final week of preparation for Shavuot, we do one chapter of Pirkei Avot each and every week. It's the central Jewish ethical text. And what makes this even better, I may say so myself, in terms of a theory of how this custom developed, is we know that the period of mourning, there's a disagreement as to when to observe this period of mourning. Some say right after the holiday of Pesach, some say closer to the holiday of Shavuot. I won't get into those details for now, but this period of mourning, M-O-U, is associated with a lack of civility and a lack of kindness. As a matter of fact, the Talmud surprises us by telling us that Rabbi Akiva, who himself was a paragon of kindness and ethics, he was the one who said that the most important principle in the Torah is the idea that you should treat everybody the way that you would wish to be treated. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah, that his students themselves, because they did not treat each other with civility and respect, all died in a terrible plague, specifically at this time of year. So as an antidote to that kind of behavior, there's a special practice of studying Pirkei Avot at this time. So every single week, just before we're going to finish, I'll mention something from Pirkei Avot. I specifically chose the fourth chapter because I think that in a lot of ways, as a chapter, is the most beautiful and it really does encapsulate the Jewish ethics, I think, in the most efficient way possible. So just at the very end today, I want to mention something from Pirkei Avot. It happens to be I corral my daughter every morning before I come here and we study a Mishnah from Pirkei Avot together. She mostly, you know, just claps her way through it, but it's important to me. You know, I like to do that. So this is what we studied together this morning. So a little bit of a personal connection there for me. I just wanted to very briefly mention something from this week's parsha. It was the first question about the chumash that I ever had. The first pasuk of this week's parsha, which is Acharei Mot, we've been reading it now for many weeks because of the holiday which interrupted, says something strange. It says Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe Acharei Mot Shnei Bnei Aharon, after the death of the two sons of Aharon. Now the reason that this is strange is not in and of itself, but that if one is familiar with the story, Aharon's sons, Nadab and Abihu, died. They offered an inappropriate sacrifice. They went into a very sacred area of the Mishkan when they should not have gone with something that they should not have gone with. And we're told that a number of parshiot ago. As a matter of fact, that's in the beginning of Parshat Shmini. You have all of the rest of Parshat Shmini, which is the laws of Kashrut, the laws of Jewish dietary law. Parshat Shmini. Then you have Parshat Tazria, which is all about the affliction of leprosy. Then you have Parshat Mitzora, which is all about healing somebody from leprosy. And in addition to that, all of the laws of Jewish family life. And then you have Parshat Acharei Mot. So why does the Torah say, and Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of the sons of Aaron? That was a full three parshiot ago. I said, this is the first question I ever had. I remember I was 8 years old, and I asked my father this question. He said, you have to go ask the rabbi. So we asked the rabbi. I won't mention who it was. And he, like, gravely disappointed me, because he gave me the answer, which is true. This is very often cited by Rashi. Ein mukdam u'me'uchar b'Torah. It means that there's no order to the Torah. You can't really ask the question, because who's to say that this occurred at any kind of a later point? Boy, was I disappointed. I was like crestfallen. So I'm here today to, you know, redress grievances, you know, to give voice to that 8-year-old, you know, who was unsatisfied, and to approach it in a little bit of a different way. And to make the argument that, no, even if it chronologically was well thereafter, that there's a very important reason that the Torah takes us back to the death of Aharon's sons. Because if you look at this section of the Torah, it's about one thing and one thing only, and that is the special service of Yom Kippur, Avodat Yom HaKippurim. Now, there was only one day a year when the Kohen Gadol, of course in the first generation it was Aharon, was allowed to go into the most sacred area, what we call the Kodesh Kadashim. And the truth of the matter is that this is exactly the place where Aharon's sons died. So the Torah is saying, now I'm going to, Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to tell you all the laws of how to approach me, how to enter the sanctum sanctorum, this most sacred, consecrated, and hallowed space. I'm going to tell you how to do that, but there's an inescapable history. Because when Aaron will be literally walking, each step that he takes, it's painful to say it, he's walking over the bodies of his sons. His sons died on that very ground. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, acharei Moshe shnei b'nei Aaron. You cannot look at these laws in a vacuum. You have to appreciate that there's a very important history, a very personal history, that if Aaron is going to be mandated, literally obligated, to approach the Kodesh Kadashim, he cannot do so dispassionately, as if this is in a vacuum, as if it's anywhere, but he's literally walking in what is the most painful space in the world for him. It's really important to internalize for a second. The rabbis have an opinion that the service of Yom Kippur was, technically speaking, the hardest service of the year. I mean, physically, very demanding. But I can assure you that whatever the physical demands were, and they were very rigorous, I don't deny it, all of the service on Yom Kippur has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. It's literally a one-man show. And it's exhausting. And it's not just exhausting the work itself, but there was a rule that he had to stay up all night the night before. Okay, not good. But however physically demanding and exhausting it was, I assure you, the emotional burden was 100 times more. Can you imagine walking there? What comes to mind, we had a tragedy, a terrible, terrible sudden death in the shul last year. That somebody was hit by a car. Question of where to have the levaya came up. It was a very, very large levaya. There was a need to do it in the shul. And on the other hand, the price of doing it in the shul is that their children, how did they step foot in the shul again? The associations. Decision was made to have it in the shul, but v'kach hava is exactly the way it happened. Very, children have not been back to the shul. It's too painful to be in the space. This is not a new story. This is always, you just have to think very, very carefully about those kinds of issues. But this was inescapable. And Aharon was told that to approach me on the holiest day of the year, the holiest service of the year, you're going to have to walk literally over the place where your two sons died. But that's only half of the story, because if there was, well, that was the greatest personal trauma of Aharon's life, and it certainly was. Aharon had another very difficult moment, which the Torah does not shy away from, and that, of course, was the Egel HaZav. That was the greatest spiritual failure of Aharon's life. Aharon is left in charge of the Jewish people. Moshe ascends the mountain, and he says, with great confidence in his brother, he tells the Jewish people, I'm going up, mi ba'al devarim, hinei Aharon v'churi machem. Aharon and my nephew Hur are in charge. Anybody who has an issue, go to them, they'll take care of it. With great confidence, great optimism in his older brother's capacity. We know what happens. Aharon is unable to stem a very strong tide. The people are uncomfortable, they're demanding, and Aharon is unable to face down the people, and there's a terrible tragedy. 3,000 Jewish people end up dying in the plague that follows. It's considered the worst and most grievous sin in Jewish history, specifically because it happens at Har Sinai, taking this place of great sanctity and having this great failure of idolatry specifically in that place. And Aharon walks around with that every single day. As a matter of fact, the Torah testifies, this is not a midrash, this is not an opinion, the Torah says, had it not been for Moshe's prayer, intervention of prayer, Aharon would have been destroyed at that moment. That as far as God was concerned, the book on Aharon was closed. Now, what is the central element of the korban, of the sacrificial offering, that Aharon has to give? The Torah's not pulling any punches here. You don't have to be a professor of symbolism and allegory to notice this one. Aharon has to offer a par, a cow, as a chatas. That is the central offering of the Yom Kippur service. And Aharon has to come and recite a vidui, a confessional of his personal sins, over this cow. So let's just conceptualize this for a second. That we're told that the service on Yom HaKippurim, Aharon's most demanding day of the year, the spiritually most significant day of the year, the most demanding day of the year, is that Aharon has to stare the two greatest tragedies of his life in the face. One, that the spiritual failure of the Egel HaZahav, and he offers this par l'chatas as an expiation of his involvement in that terrible sin, his failure of leadership. And of course, the very space is the space of his death of his own children. And yet the Torah says, and I think the message for all of us is it's extremely difficult, but equally rewarding if internalized, Bezos Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh, that only through these two elements can Aharon approach the holiest place. The message of the Torah is that to achieve whatever spirituality means to us, whatever it means for us to connect with God, our natural instinct is to run away from the most painful things in our life, our greatest personal tragedies, and our greatest failures. And the Torah says just the opposite, that godliness or spirituality can only be found in confronting, literally, revisiting those moments of great personal trauma and suffering, and moments of great failure. Bezos, through this, and as I would add, only through this, Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh, can Aharon come to the holiest place. To connect with God and to have a spiritual moment is fundamentally rooted in a kind of honesty. And there's no way that we can aspire to that if we're not really being honest with ourselves about the things that are most important in our lives, even if they are, in truth, the single most difficult things. In that way, my argument today is it possible that Aharon's own personal journey as Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is actually meant to be a prototype for all of us? That when we approach our own personal, most sacred space, that we can only do so via the road of those most impactful moments in our life, even if they are the most difficult. Thinking a lot about this week, it's obviously a tall order. There's a reason that we don't like to think about the things that pain us the most and that we see as our greatest failure. But of course, if the whole idea of Avodat Yom HaKippurim, that's what we're talking about after all, is expiation, is being able to achieve a certain degree of redemption, we can't do it by running away from failure or tragedy rooted in failure, like Aharon's sons, but only by revisiting that. And if that's true, I'm now speaking to my 8-year-old self, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe acharei mos shnei bnei Aharon bikarvasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. They became close to Hashem, they died at that place. This is the key to understanding the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, not by running from the past, but by engaging with it in a serious and inauthentic way.